Your speaker is Garland Robinson.
In the Gospel of Luke, we read in chapter 9, and beginning in verse 23, where Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Here the Lord is talking about taking up the cross and following Him. The cross here to be taken up is not the Lord's cross. It's not the one upon which He was crucified. But on the other hand, it's talking about our own cross. It's talking about the burdens, the afflictions, the difficulties that come as a natural consequence of us living the Christian life. We're not at all minimizing and that the cross of Christ, that we hold it so dear and so precious. We're so glad, we're so thankful that the Lord did go to that old rugged cross, and there He paid the supreme sacrifice, His own life, in shedding His blood for us. Without that event, without His resurrection from the dead, obviously there'd be no purpose or reason for us to be here today. But we're not trying to minimize that whatsoever. But looking here at the context in regards to what the Lord says, He says there is something that we have to bear. That is, we bear our own cross. That is a symbolism, not a wooden structure like that, not wherein we're going to be physically crucified, but cross in a sense or a figurative sense having to do with simply the difficulties or the problems that come our way. Because when one obeys the gospel, when you live a faithful Christian life, you're not the most precious person in the world. That is, at least viewed by the world's eyes. It's not that the world holds you up and protects you and places a barrier around you that now you are held in high esteem and honor. But really the very opposite of it is true. There is difficulty that will come our way simply because we seek to name the name of Christ. Simply because we rise above the world and we refuse to cheat. We refuse to steal. We refuse to condone evildoers. That our life is a very affront to those who live such lives as that. They would rather us not be around. They don't want to be exposed in their wickedness. And they see us as the scourge of the world. But rather, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 that every man is to bear his own burden. I have burdens to bear just as you have burdens to bear. There are some that are peculiar to me as there are peculiar to you. There are those burdens that cannot be shared. We read back in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 2, just three verses earlier, where the Lord says, "And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There are burdens, there are troubles and problems that we can share one with another. And we can help each other bear the load and support up under those things. But then there are those that you cannot. You can only go so far. We can only aid and help one another to a certain extent. And beyond that, there are some that are peculiar to each of us, and we just have to live with it. And it has to do with those things that come our way because we've simply named the name of Christ. And we read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." When we name the name of Christ, when we seek to go out and live the Christian life, when we seek to bring honor and glory to God, to have forgiveness of our sins, to live as the Lord would have us to live, to go to heaven when we die, He says we're looking for that one day. We're looking for that great goal. And He says, in the meantime, there is a patient continuance in well-doing. You know, it's not always popular to do what's well or what is right. It's not always easy to embark upon the Christian life. And so there are difficulties, there are problems, there are stresses that comes along the way. There are great temptations that come upon us. And he says, therefore, endure those patiently. And that we keep on enduring, that we keep on looking for and weathering the storm. And we're looking to that goal one day that will be heaven. And when this world is over, oh, how we'll no doubt be able to look back, say, well, I'm not necessarily glad all of those things happened to me, but now I'm better off as a result of it. All the difficulties in life, all your unique problems ought to serve to temper us, to cause us to be more like Christ. It should work on our patience to cause it to endure, that they each would mold us, that we would be able to use and profit from them, that we might be a better person. Far too often it's the case that when difficulties arise and problems confront us in this world, that too many give up. They throw up their hands and quit. The pressure's too great. The temptation too strong. And I'm just going to quit. It's not worth living the Christian life. Too many do that. But instead of being discouraged, instead of being disheartened, instead of looking at all of these things and why me, Lord, we need to be able to use them. Let them mold and temper us that we might weather the storms of life and be able one day to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as we serve the Lord, as we here take up the cross, the burdens, the afflictions we are to bear, we need to understand some things. For one, we need to understand that if I'm going to live the faithful Christian life, it's going to cost something. Not only will it cost us money, it doesn't have a dollar value on it wherein we, you know, may have to pay $9.95 or $1,000 or $1,000,000. We're not talking about that. But it's going to cost us a number of things. For one, it's going to cost us the world. It will cost us the entire world. Because James mentioned in James chapter 4 and verse 4, whosoever will be a friend of the world will be an enemy of the Lord. We can't be a friend of the world and enjoy and involve ourselves and with all the passions and all the lust and all the wicked and evil things of the world, then expect to go to heaven when we die. So it's going to cost us something. We're going to have to say, well, though we live in this world, though we have to put up with and suffer and endure the things of this life, though we have to work in society and earn a living and provide for, we must not become a part of the world. We live here, but we're not in the world or of the world and partaking of its great evils. But instead, we have to give it up. We have to forfeit it. That is a price that we have to pay. And when we do that, it's going to cause some difficulty and problems. It's going to bring some persecutions our way. We read when Paul tells Timothy, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the cross we have to bear. That's the burden that comes our way. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 and 27, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then the Scripture says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to their works. When we get to that great by and by, and we stand before the Lord in judgment, there will not be a single faithful Christian that will ever regret living for the Lord. They'll never regret, I wish I'd never obeyed the gospel. Or I wish I'd never worked as hard. I wish I were not as faithful as I had been. That won't happen. But there'll be those that say, I wish I'd obeyed the gospel. I heard sermon after sermon. I knew the truth of God, and I resisted. I didn't obey. And those who did obey that were half-hearted Christians that just kind of floated along, that still loved the world and hung on to the world, they're going to wish they had given up the world. They're going to wish that they had forfeited all that the world has to offer for one opportunity, for one chance of obeying the gospel. For the Lord said, "What would you give in exchange for your soul?" But then it's too late. If I'm going to be faithful, if I'm going to bear the cross or the burden that comes my way, then I'm going to have to be willing to give up the world and all the things that are in the world. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, "For no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon." He said it doesn't work that way. You can't hang on to the world with one hand and try to work and hang on to the Lord with the other hand. You're going to be the most miserable person that's ever lived. Hopefully you'll have enough conscience about yourself that you will be miserable. And that feeling should cause you to give up the world. Not give up Christ. Don't give up Him and go back to the world and be happy for a while. But rather give up the world. But yet, there may be some here this morning. I don't know. You'd have to answer that. That if you'll be honest with yourself, you don't feel good. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritual this morning. Your mind is in turmoil. Your life is in controversy. You don't feel good about your soul. You're miserable, as it were, because you're trying to hang on to the world. You're trying to enjoy and involve yourself in every worldly endeavor that hinders you in faithfulness to the Lord. You don't mind missing the Lord's service if it's convenient or if you're involving something in the world. You don't really care about studying the Bible. You're not praying as you should. You're not doing and living the Christian life. But yet you're here this morning, and I'm glad you're here. But yet you're miserable because you're torn between the two. And the Lord says that won't work. You can't serve two masters. We read also in the parable of the sower, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, that he that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Again, on the one hand, you receive the word, and it brings forth, but because of the worldliness and the worldly attitude, it chokes and threatens the very life. Well, he says, if you're going to live for me, one of the crosses that you're going to have to bear is to give up the world. Get rid of the world. You remember in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 20 to 22, the rich young ruler that came to the Lord, and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery." And the young man said, "Well, all of these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And the Lord said, "Go and sell all that thou hast and give the poor, and come and follow me." And the Bible says that the young man walked away and was with great sorrow because he had many great possessions. He was unwilling to give them up. He would serve the Lord as long as it didn't bother him or that it didn't cost him a great deal. But one of the burdens he had to bear was to give up what he had because he was in love with it. That was his God. That's where his devotion was. And the Lord said, that's not going to work. So, as we bear our own cross, it's going to cost us the world. You know, it very well may, and it has with a lot of people, cost them their family. If you have a family that is a Christian family, if your father and mother or your son and daughter, or your husband or your wife or your grandparents or your immediate family, if they are Christians and they're faithful and you're not persecuted in that respect, then how grateful you need to be. How thankful, because so many people, most people in the world don't have that luxury. They learn the truth, they desire to obey the gospel, and they have immediately problems with their mother or father, their husband or wife or son or daughter, And there's turmoil and there's contention there because they do not want you to obey the gospel. They do not want you to live a faithful Christian life. And there's immediate trouble. And no doubt many of you this very day could give testimony to that very thing because you have faced that or perhaps even facing it now. But the Bible says if you're going to live for the Lord, one of the crosses you're going to have to bear is that you may have to forfeit your family. Give them up because we ought to serve God rather than man. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. You remember how the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 34 to 39, "Think not that I'm come to bring peace upon the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross." Again, there's the same reference we're talking about. Whatever the problem or affliction or burden, if you don't take up your own cross and follow after me, he says, you're not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So what's the whole point? Does he tell us to hate our father and mother? No, that's not the point. We should not hate anyone. But he says we ought to love even our family less. We must love them less than we love the Lord. And if it takes forfeiting our family, if we have to, you know, not abide by or with our family in order to obey the Lord and be faithful to the Lord and be able to hear Him say one day, "Well done," then He said, if that's the price you have to pay, if that's the burden you have to bear, if that's the cross you have to endure, He said, then so be it. That's simply the consequence of living a faithful Christian life. And that's what He says. Now, not everybody is under that burden, but then a lot of people are. And yet, that may be you today. If He says, if you're going to bear up the cross, then if that costs you your family, if you have to part company with them and cannot fellowship or associate with them in order to be a Christian and be faithful, then that's a small price to pay one day when you have to stand before the judgment bar of Christ. Again, He said it may cost you persecution. We live in a society, a culture today, where persecution, physical persecution, has almost been non-existent. But more and more in our world today, it is getting where there is physical persecution. There is threat of bodily harm for those who either obey the gospel or who live that faithful Christian life. Again, as Paul told Timothy, that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Paul's life was like that. Initially, he was the very one that was dishing out the persecution. He actually thought that he was doing God's service by persecuting Christians. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9 tells us. But then when he learned the truth, when he obeyed the gospel, he with as much fervor and zealousness then continued to preach the very one who he persecuted before. And when he lived that life, he began to show that this is very the Christ. This is He that is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 that the Jews around him consorted one with another, conspired to lay in wait, and they watched the gates day and night in Damascus when he first obeyed the gospel. They were going to seize him and persecute him, perhaps even put him to death. There were those certainly that later on were under that death pact, that they would neither eat nor drink until they saw him dead. Do you think how much pressure Paul was under? Have you ever faced that kind of pressure? I haven't. Lord willing, hopefully we will not. But if we did, if you were under a death threat, if there were those who were seeking your life because you were here today, or because you would dare pray to God every day, or because you would read your Bible and you would try to teach others the unsearchable riches of Christ, that if you got caught so doing, you would be put to death or imprisoned, would it make a difference in your life? Would it really make a difference? Would you be as likely then to live for the Master? Would you be as free in publicizing and preaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here he says there's persecution that comes. And if that is the case, wherever we may live around the world, if it comes to the point that we are going to be persecuted with bodily harm or imprisonment or in beating or even in death, he said, you've got to be faithful. That is not sufficient cause to abandon the Lord. It's not, he says, that, well, in that circumstance, it'd be all right to deny Jesus and be able to get along with people. That's not what the Bible says. But it says, instead, we read something that was written in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. The point of the passage there is not only until the day we die. The Lord teaches that. Be faithful until the day you die. Hopefully that is a ripe old age. But he said, more than that, even if it costs you your life, even to the point unto death, if you have an untimely death or an early time of death, and because of the reason of living for the Lord, he said, then that's a burden you have to bear. That's one of the crosses that comes your way. That's one of the consequences that is for living for the Lord. And Paul was faced with that so many times. He said he was beaten 5 times of the Jews, nearly 200 whips. 196 or 95 lashes that were put out on him. Not all at once, 39 at a time for 5 different times. And he said simply because he dared be a Christian. Then he says he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of false brethren. He was beaten, he was beaten with rods, he was stoned and left for dead. All of these things befell him, and yet he would not stop. He would not stop being a Christian. He wouldn't quit living for the Lord. That was one of the great burdens or the crosses that he had to bear, was that if he was going to be living for the Lord, then he would have to pay that kind of price. And yet he was gladly able to do so. We need to have that kind of sentiment, shouldn't we? We need to work for the time that when we do face that kind of persecution, when it does, and if it comes to the time when our life is threatened, we need to be praying now and working now and conditioning ourselves now that when and if that time comes, that we can weather that storm, that we can bear up under that difficulty, that severe and terrible persecution. It is said by tradition that of all the apostles that were, they all died a martyr's death except John. We don't know. That's not inspired history. But secular history tells us that. And it very well looks to be the case and to be true. But if that happens to be us, what then? How should we live? What should we do? One of the things that ought to help us in living a Christian life, in advancing in the Christian life, in being faithful unto the Lord, here's one of the incentives that ought to help us to recognize that when, if we bear these crosses, if we bear up under all these difficulties, here's one thing we know. It's bringing glory to God. How many people would really live and act and do the things that they do because it brings glory to God? How many husbands, perhaps, may endure the things they do and suffer the things they suffer because they love their wife? And if this helps her, if this advances her, and this promotes her, then I'll suffer this because I want her to be well. Or then vice versa, whether it be a wife then to a husband. Well, as Christians, the Bible says that we ought to be like that for the Lord. If there was no other reason involved, we would recognize that our faithfulness in the Lord's service and enduring whatever afflictions and troubles and persecutions come, if for no other reason, we would recognize that brings glory to God. That praises God. Is He not worth our praise? Should we not pray to Him and give Him great glory and adoration and thankfulness? Why don't we read in the book of Revelation time and time again when we read of those who were beheaded for the cause of Christ around the throne and others in that great glimpse of the scene of that beautiful place when they would cry out, "How great is our God, glory and praise and honor due unto His high and holy name." Well, we recognize that when we bear burdens, that brings glory to God. Notice a number of passages that tell us that so. In Romans chapter 16, verse 27, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." In Philippians 2 and verse 11, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father." In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20, "Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever." In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." In Jude, verse 25, "To the only wise God be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever." Then as we mentioned a moment ago in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever." Do we feel about God that way? Do we ever even think about that? That our very life, our service, the fact that we deliberately of our own choice withstand the evils of the world and we discipline ourselves against the things of this life and the world and mold and point our lives to the Lord. And do we ever stop to think that brings glory to God? That praises God. He is due that praise. He is worthy of that glory because of His greatness, because of His majesty, because of His power, because of His great love that He is for us. Our persecutions, our burdens we bear, that brings praise and glory to God. But then there's also one other thing we'll consider. It not only brings that praise and glory to God, but it rewards us with heaven someday. Isn't that also one of the great incentives or the goals to which we're looking? That all the burdens that we bear in this world and all the shame and reproach and hardships, don't we recognize and know that one day we'll be rewarded? We'll be able to receive the inheritance that God has promised for us. We mentioned at the beginning of this lesson in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." That, again, is one of the incentives. That's why we keep on living as we do. Why we keep on. Even the persecutions come heavy and hard. And even though the things that befall us, and it, you know, we're weary in all of these items, we know that there is something greater that Lord has promised for us, a great reward. Galatians 6 and verse 9 then says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." There's the great promise that we cannot give up. We cannot give in. We can't throw up our hands and quit. We keep on being faithful because that brings glory to God, because that is our duty to do. That is what God expects of us. And likewise, we're looking for that great reward someday. When we stand before the Lord in judgment, what will we hear Him say? Each and every one will be there. What will He tell me? When you stand there, what will He tell you? Based upon the life that you're right now living, currently, what do you believe the Lord would say? I believe every one of us know what we would hear. We know what we'd hope to hear, we'd like to hear. That's obvious, that's true. But take a quick inventory of your life, of what you did yesterday, this past week, this past month, this past year. Well, the very tenor of your life, the very essence of who you are and what you think about and what your intentions are and your attitude, everything about you. If you stood before the Lord right now, what would you expect the Lord to say? What would you be afraid that He would say? We're not at all speaking about the fact that, oh, He'd be proud of me, or I'm great and good and I deserve. We're not talking about those kind of things. We each are humble servants. We each would recognize that when we've done all that's commanded of us, we've only done that which was our duty to do. We place our hands in a mighty and wonderful, a fearful God. And we do so willingly and as His great service, but at the same time, based upon all the Scriptures, when He tells us that when we obey the gospel and we live a faithful life and we walk in the light as He is in the light day by day and His blood continually cleanses us from all of our sins, what do you expect to hear? God promised and will not lie, cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, He's promised us eternal life. And if we've lived as according to His will, that's what we'll hear. But here in just a moment, we're about to stand and sing the song of encouragement. That is, encourages us to make our calling and election sure. If you've never obeyed the gospel, today is the time to do so, because you may not have another opportunity. We know not what this afternoon or what a day may bring forth. Therefore, we only have the present. But based upon what you've done in the past, what would you hear? What would you hear? What are you fearful or afraid that you would hear? In Revelation chapter 21, we read verse 3 and 4, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither crying nor sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." What a great, wonderful thing to look forward to be able to hear the Lord say, "Come, thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Come, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Is that what you're going to hear? Based upon the inventory of your life, is that what you'll hear? Or are you afraid you'll hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels"? It'd been better for you to have never known the way of righteousness than after you'd known it to turn from it. Why not today obey the gospel? All things are ready if you desire to repent of your sins. Confess faith in Christ. You can be baptized today for the forgiveness of sins. You can come back to the fold and make everything right, to wipe the slate clean, no matter what it is in the past. If you'll repent of it and obey God, you can have forgiveness of it. That can all be done away, put behind you, and then you begin to live the faithful Christian life. And whatever burden, whatever conflict, whatever affliction, whatever trouble that it is that comes your way, then it's something you have to bear. But the Lord will help you in it. Brethren will help you in it as much as they're able. But there are some things they can't help you with that you just have to do yourself. Right? And this is one of them right now, to obey the gospel. As much as they might desire, pray for you, encourage you, it's something you have to do alone to obey the gospel. It's something you have to do alone to come back to faithfulness in the Lord's house. You have to live the faithful life all of your days. That may be discouraging to some, but it's simply a reality. That's the way the Lord made it. This morning, won't you come? Won't you obey the gospel? Won't you come back to the fold?
This has been Garland Robinson.